Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Yud Dalet. We left off on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, third wide line. It says the Mishnah: Chareshes vashot vasuma vishenitrufa data im yeshlan pichos mesaknos san veinochos betruma. We're talking about bedikos in this parak. We spoke about how women, it's a good idea for women to do a lot of bedikos, not such a good idea for men to do a lot of bedikos. So a woman who is a deaf mute, a woman who's a shot, who's deranged, a woman who's blind, a woman who's Nitrofadaita, who's going out of her mind a little bit, if she has someone else to watch over her, to take care, to make sure that she's tahora, she's allowed to eat truma. So says Gemara, Chareshes, Ihi Tivdok Lenafsha. Why does Chareshes need someone else to do bedikos for her, to watch over her, make sure that she's okay? Why can't she do a bedika herself? So the Tanya, after all, Amar Rabbi, we learned in a bright, so Amar Rabbi, Chareshes, Haysa Bishkun Asenu, Lo Daisha Bedekas Ta'atzmel, we used to have a chareshes in our neighborhood. Not only was she did she do her own bedikos, other women would take their bedikos and show it to her. She was such an expert in bedikos. So says Gemara, no, over there it's a different story. Over there we're talking about a woman who's medaberes ve'ena shoma'as. She's able to speak, but she doesn't hear. Over here we're talking about a woman who's able to do neither, who can neither hear nor speak. When we talk about a cherish, when we talk about someone who's deaf and therefore considered to be not functional in society, we're talking about someone who's not able to hear nor able to speak. So that's the definition of a halachic cherish. Now Rabbi Kiveger, the Aruch Liner, point out, why doesn't the Mishnah bring Ketana also? It talks about a chareshes, shot, asuma, nitrifa, daita. Why do we, in general, whenever we have a shota and a katan, whenever we have a cheresh and a shota, there's always a katan on the list as well. Katana should also be metame, and a katana is able to be metame tumas nida. So the din of a katana in the suah should be that she should require a bedika al yedei nashim acheros. Other women should have to help her do a bedika. So the Aruch Liner says that since the Mishnah writes this by achilas truma, that were misaklos, so sudden they eat truma, and from the lashon of ochlos truma, it's mashma that they're ochos me'atzma, not that we are ma'achil them. So by katana, there's no reason to be mocha biyada if she eats before you check her, before someone does a bedika, because the halacha is that a katan ochel nevelos ain bezim mitzuvah la'afrisho, that a katan who's eating on their own something that they're not supposed to eat, it's not bezim's responsibility to stop them from doing so. But a chareshes and a shota, which are who are gedolos, they should not eat without a bedika. That's how the Aruch Liner suggests initially, but then he's docha this pshat because he says chareshes and shota also is since they're pata from all mitzvos lechora the same din of ein bezin mitzuvah la'afrisho that bezin has no responsibility to stop them from eating should apply equally to chareshes and shota as it does to a katan. So he suggests that maybe we can explain that since it's not shchiach that a katana will see dam and will become tameh and will therefore require bedikos, the mission doesn't bring a milsul lo shchiach. It doesn't mention that which is so uncommon in the first place. Vaiter in the Gemara, Hasuma, so we mentioned a blind woman, so Ihi Tivdok L'Nafshav, Tichsi L'Chavrta. The only problem with the Suma is she can't see the Bedika. Why do other people have to do the Bedika for her? Why can't she just do the Bedika and show it to other people to take a look at it? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanin, Suma ain't a Mishnah. You're right, Suma doesn't belong in our Mishnah. It's Suma is absolutely able to do her own Bedika. Visha Nitrafadaita, Frak the Gemara, Hainu Shota, Nitrafadaita, what's the difference between that and the shota? They're both people who are deranged. So what difference does it make? Shenitrafadaita machlas choli. Shenitrafadaita means that she has some sort of illness. She wasn't born deranged. She just has some sort of illness that is causing her to be delirious right now. Tan Rabbanan. Kohen shota matvilin oso machlin oso trumala erev umesharman oso shlo yishon. If you have a kohen who's a shota, we can bring him to the mikvah and feed him truma that night, because he has to wait till Harav Shemesh, until then he's a tevul yom. Feed him truma that night and just be careful, make sure he doesn't sleep. Once he sleeps, yashen tame. Once he sleeps, then we have to assume he's tame, because we have to assume there was some sort of chimum, there was some sort of arousal, he may have become a balkari. Lo yashen tahar, but if he didn't sleep, then he's still deemed tahar from that tevila. Rav Lozer Rav Tzadik Omer, osan lo kis shel or. Rav Lozer Rav Tzadik says, we make a pouch out of leather to catch anything that will come out of his body, and this way we'll easily be able to tell, even if he fell asleep, whether he was tamei or not. Just check the kiss, and you'll see if there was anything in there. So Amr Lo, so they said to Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Tzadok, you're going to put something tightly around that area, certainly it's going to cause arousal. It's not going to, you're going to cause the problem. Forget about being able to tell whether there was a problem. You're going to be the cause of the problem. So he says, yeah, so good. So what are you going to do with the shota? There's not going to be any way that we're ever going to know if a shota is tamei or tahar. So how are you ever going to know that he started to give him truma? So no, we had an eitzah. Our eitzah was bring him to the mikvah, wait till of Shemesh, and let him eat then. So it worked out well according to us. According to you, that you want to make this kiss shalar, forget about the fact that you're going to cause the problem. You might cause the problem and then not even know about it. Or is somewhat soft, leather is soft, and if you just have a little tiny drop of shikhva zera, like the size of a chardal, over here, you by let's say, kesem, or by, well, yeah, let's by nida, I should say, by zava gadola. So we have a chumra that penos Yisrael machmir, even if they just one time see a tipas dam kechardol. So that's a chumra. Over here, it's a din. If there's a little tipas shikva zera kechardol, that's enough to make him tame, and we won't even know about it because it will become absorbed in the leather. So tame mishum Reb Lazar amru osno kishal mateches. So Reb Lazar said they would make a metal pouch that they would put over that area, and that way nothing would be absorbed, and even if there was just the tiniest amount of shechva zera, they would know about it. Amar Abayi v'shal nechoshes. And Abayi says, what kind of metal would they use? They would dafki use nechoshes. They would use copper. Kedetanya, Ravidom Aronos u'givolin shalezov kilu hein shal nechoshes. Apparently, nechoshes absorb nothing. And the raya that they absorb nothing is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that when we describe how much of the mechatas you need, that's called kidei hazah, that's considered that you have enough to sprinkle, we view it as if, the Rebbe says, you view it as if you're dipping the choshes into it, meaning it absorbs nothing. And however much you would have left, with the sprinkling, that's how much you need in order for it to be metame. But the point of that whole statement is that nechoshes is assumed to absorb nothing of the original mechadas. Amar Rav Papa Shmamina mechnasayim asurim, a major statement. He says, you see from here that wearing pants is aser. Why? Because it's going to be mechamim the body, and it can cause tumah. What about the fact that kohanim would wear pants? So who could detanya michnas ekranim the mahin domin? Now those were very unusually shaped pants. They were kamin pamlanya shel parashim lamala and masnayim lamata adirechayim. They were like a horseman's pants that went on the top up until the chest and the bottom down till the knees. V'yeshlan shnatzim, and they had these ties that would tighten and loosen it. Ve'inlam lo beis hanek of lo beis ha'erva. But there was no area. There was no the area around the Beis Erva was wider, and it didn't hit against the Aver at all, and therefore it didn't cause any sort of chimum. So if you have such unusual pants, that would be okay. Like a very baggy area around the midsection, it was very, very baggy, and therefore it was permissible. So the Rishonim already discussed, how is it mutter to wear pants? Why don't we all walk around wearing robes or togas or whatever it is that was worn in ancient times? So the Ritva writes, Achshav Noogim Kala Aretz Lahakal B'davar V'lilbosh Mechnasayim, that nowadays our minig is to be mekel and we wear pants. Ve'ein lanu al malismuch lahakal v'lilbosh Mechnasayim. But he says, we have nothing to be so mechan, I have no idea why we do it, but it's just something that we do. Very, very strange. That doesn't help us very much. He has no explanation. The Ramah in Darkei Moshe and in the Shulchan Aruch, in his Agos and Shulchan Aruch, Nem Nezer, Simon Chav Gimel, Si'ivav, writes that from the Gemara, it's Efshar Lomer that the Isser was only in those days where they had Truma, and there was, because that's what the whole context of our Sugya is. We're trying to be Mitayr, the guy to be able to eat Truma, so they have to be more Machmir about Tumas Haguf. However, the Rosh does quote this in his Psakim, so it's Mashma that Gamba we should still be aser, even though from the Gemara wouldn't be a raya that would be aser bismanazeh. The fact that the Rush quotes it would seem like a problem. So in the Sefer Atzei Arazim, he writes that mechnasayim shalon ramuter, because we don't. don't have a kis miyuchad le'ever. There's no section of the pants that are miyuchad dafka to hold the ever in place. If you have something like that, that would be a problem. And that's what the Miri writes, that we make mikvasayim rechavos harbe, that they have no smichus basar klal. They're very wide, they're baggy, they're not tight at all. So the chora, this would, if that's our kula, so for a person to wear very tight pants or tight jeans or something like that, l'chora would be a problem. But forget about that. What about underwear? People wear undergarments that are tight. So someone once asked me a shayla. People were making fun of him in the shul. Someone, I think, because he asked it publicly, but no, I don't remember if he asked it publicly. That public. No, he has a private.
He publicized that
he asked the shayla. Yeah. Someone once asked me. So what kind of undergarments is a person supposed to wear? On the one hand, if you wear the tight undergarments, so then it's a violation of this gemara, right? It seems to be very clear by that. It's a kiss miyucha to hold the ever in place. On the other hand, if you wear boxers, so then there's an issue in Hilchos Brachos that if the ever is touching your leg, then you're not allowed to make a bracha. So what are you supposed to do? So it's a good shaila. I don't know. So anyway, that's the issue. The Gemara says that for whatever reason we're makel to wear not the Gemara. The Rishonim will say for whatever reason we're makel to wear pants. Okay. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Abaye, the last two words on Gemara Beis. Amar Abaye, Rochvei Gemara Masurim Lechel B'Truma. People who ride camels are not permitted to eat truma because the camel causes chimum. It causes the aver to be mischamim, and therefore they're likely to become tamei. They're going to be motzi zera, and they're not going to be able to eat truma. Tanya Namiyachi, Rochvei Gemara Kulam Rishaim. All camel riders are Rishaim. Hasapanim Kulam Tzadikim, and all boatmen are all sailors. Are tzaddikim. And people who ride donkeys, some of them are rishaim, some of them are tzaddikim. Very similar to what the Gemara talks about at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, but the Gemara in Kiddushin gives us a different idea of who's who in terms of a tzaddik and a rasha. The Gemara over there says, Gamalin Ruban Kesherim, Chamarin Ruban Listin, that people who ride camels are mostly kasher. Over here we're saying that they're all rishaim. And it says over there that people who ride donkeys are mostly listin. And over here we say, yeah, it could go either way if you ride a donkey. So Tosus points out over here that we're talking about different things. Over here we're talking about hirhur, and we're talking about actually riding. Over there we're talking about as a profession, people who walk around with donkeys and with camels. It doesn't have to mean that you're riding it. It means that you're leading a donkey or a camel, and those types of professions either will lead you to certain paths in life, will lead you to be more righteous or less righteous based on the amount of the percentage of people in those professions that steal, things of that nature. That's it's a different, totally different context in that Gemara. So some say the difference is that if you have a saddle or you don't have a saddle, meaning what determines if you're a donkey rider whether you're going to be a good guy or a bad guy. So it depends whether there's a saddle or not a saddle, whether you could avoid chimum ha'ever or not. And others say it depends how you ride it. If you ride with one leg on either side, so that's more of a problem of evaro mischamim. But if you ride with two legs on one side, like a woman would ride, so that's at least that's how it used to be, that a woman would ride with both legs on one side, so then you don't have to worry about chimum ha'ever, and then you could still be okay. Rabbi Shua ben Levi layat aman de gani aparkid. Rabbi Shua ben Levi cursed anyone who would sleep, who would lie down, sleep aparkid. So what does aparkid mean? So Rashi writes, the reason that it's us is sometimes excuse me, that sometimes evaro mischamim, that evaro that it's going to be iskasha evaro, he's going to have kishrei ever in the middle of his sleep, and then it's going to be megala the ever, and it's going to be disgusting. And he also says sometimes yadav munachos al evaro, that his hands are going to be there, and you have to be worried about chimum. So Rashi says that aparkin means pun of lamala, means he's lying on his back face up. Tosos says in the name of the Rashbam that begadav noflin alevaro v'yischamim. It's lying on the back, but that the begadim are going to be resting on the Aver, and that's going to cause chimum. So Tosfos asks on the first Pshat of Rashi that says that it's, he says that if that's the concern, that the concern is that Shem Yiskash Evaro, and it's going to be Mizgala, so what if you're in a dark and closed house where no one's there? You're in your own room. So is it then going to be Mutter Aparkit? It's then going to be Mutter? I mean, if the whole point is that it's going to be, you're going to become exposed, so what if you're in a dark room where there's nobody else there and the door is locked? So is that going to necessarily be mutter? So Chassam Sofer writes that you can't say that it's mutter in that case, because then why does the Gemara ask from Prakton Likra Kriyashma, which sounds that it's mutter to lie that way? Just to answer the Gemara's next line, we could just answer it by saying, no, maybe that's not talking about Bebai Yisafel in a dark room where there's no problem. So it has to obviously mean that there is a problem. So the Aruch Lener points out that it's not just, it tells us Kasha, it's not only on the first Shita in Rashi. Really, we could say there's enough Gemina for each Shita. If you're lying there, Arum Beli Begadim, so according to the Rashbam, it should be Mutter, because the whole Shash is that you're Mischame Machmas Begadim. So that's enough Gemina where, according to the Rashbam, it wouldn't be a problem if you don't have any cover on you. If you're lying there and your hands are, let's say, tied up, or you're unable to move your hands for whatever reason, then the second Pshat in Rashi shouldn't be a problem, where you're worried that your hands are going to touch that area. So why is Tosfos only bothered by the first Pshat of Rashi? All the Pshatim have some case where it wouldn't apply. Elamai, what do you have to say? That it's a low plug, so it would be a low plug according to that day in Rashi as well. So anyway, so he didn't like this idea, Rabbi Shubha Levi didn't like this idea of people sleeping on their back. So says Gemara, Eini Vam Rav Yosef Prakton Likra Kriyashma Kriyashma Adela Yikra Migna Shapir Dami. But wait a second, we just learned that a Prakton is not allowed to read Kriyashma, but that implies that he is allowed to lie down that way, he's allowed to sleep that way, he's just not allowed to read Kriya Shema while lying on his back. And so the Gemara, Linyan Migna Kimatzli Shapir Damina, when it comes to sleeping, if you're leaning a little bit, that's okay. Linyan Kriya Shema Kimatzli Asur, when it comes to Kriya Shema, even if you're leaning a little bit to the side, but you're mostly on your back, that's also going to be Asur. Frak the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Matzli Vakar Kriya Shema, what about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan leaned, he was mostly on his back, but he leaned when he read Kriya Shema, and I thought you just told me that leaning is not enough for Kriya Shema, that's only enough to be matir regular sleep, but for Kriya Shema, leaning isn't good enough. So Shani Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Basar, have a note. Rabbi Yochanan is a different story. Rabbi Yochanan is known to have been a Baal Basar, he was an extremely fat man, and because of that, it was difficult for him to move around, it was difficult for him to do much more than to lean. The Gemara, of course, tells us in Masechet Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan was exceptionally beautiful. We have that when he would expose some of his arm, the whole area would light up. He would sit by the Beis HaTevila, and women would on their way out, they would look at him, and that would inspire them to have more beautiful children or whatever it is. He was exceptionally beautiful. He was a Baal Basar. We have a lot of strange anatomical references to Rabbi Yochanan, like what he looked like. His eyelashes, that he had these extremely long eyelashes where he couldn't see anything unless he would actually manually lift up his eyelashes. Very, very difficult to picture what Rabbi Yochanan looked like and to imagine the beauty. Okay, anyway, so says the Mishnah. We learned in previous Mishnahs that a woman who's Osik Pataros has to be Bodik herself before Tashmish and after Tashmish. And the Gemara said, Migo that she has to be Bodik herself for Taros, we have to be Bodik Labaila as well. So we mentioned a few times already, Rashi's Shita throughout the Gemara is that a woman only has to be Bodik if she's Osik Pataros. If she's not Osik Pataros, it's not a good idea for her to be Bodeka. So Rashi's Shita in our Mishnah that we're about to read is that it's a Hemshech of the previous Mishnah. And the dinim in our Mishnah are talking about, when we talk about bedikos, are all talking about an isha that's osekes b'taharos, and therefore she's bodekes both before and after tashmish. And our Mishnah is just going to add that the baal also needs to do bedika in those situations, and the Mishnah is also going to add that she shouldn't use the same bedika cloth multiple times. But a woman who's not a sukkah b'taharos is not the subject of our Mishnah, because a woman who's not a sukkah b'taharos, according to Shitas Rashi, should never be doing bedikos. However, the sheet of the Rambam is that our Mishnah is talking about any woman, even a woman who's not a sukkah b'taros, and even if she has a vesis kavua, she has to be bodik herself. However, it's enough to be bodik before tashmish, and the tznuos are bodik after tashmish as well. We'll see in the Mishnah. But Rashi's sheet is that this whole Mishnah is only talking about a woman who's a sukkah b'taros. It says in the Mishnah, derech benos Yisrael mesham shos b'shnei edim. When they have tashmish amita, there are two bedika cloths involved. echad lo ve echad lo, one for him and one for her, to wipe themselves off afterwards. Vatznuos misaknu shlishi v'saknis habayis, and the tznuos have an extra bitik cloth before tashmish as well. Nimsal shalot tamein v'chayav and karban. If on his bitik cloth they find dam, so obviously the dam came from her body because he checked, he cleaned himself off after tashmish. So then we know that he slept with her while she was in nida. So they're both going to be tamei and chayav a karban. Nimsal shalav, they find dam on her bitik cloth. Well, then it depends how soon after the bia they found the dam. Osyom tamei and v'chayav and karban. If they find it immediately, so they're both tamein chayv a karban. Nimshal shalala achazman tamein misafik ptur min a karban. If they find it later on, then it's going to be they're only going to be tamein misafik and be putter from bringing a karban. Ezu achazman. How do we define achazman? Kedei sheter min amita v'tadiach paneha. Enough time to get off the bed and clean off that area. Va'achar kach matame me'es le'es ve'ena matame es ba'ala. If they find the dam on her bedik cloth after that, in the time that it takes longer time than that, then it's mitame me'isleis midrabanan, she's going to be mitame lemafreya 24 hours, but it's not going to be mitame her boel as if he was a boel nida. Rabbi Kiva Omer af mitame is boel, that it's even mitame the boel, but of course over here there's no carbon. Modem chamle Rabbi Kiva bara kesem she mitame is boel. Chamle mod Rabbi Kiva that if you find a kesem, then in that situation it would be mitame the boel as well. There is a machlokas amarayim in the Gemara Maseches Shavuos and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. If this din of nimtzal shalot tamei and v'chayev mekarban that you find on his bedikah cloth that you're going to be chayev mekarban, if it's where he was boel her samach levesta, which is a zman that she should have been seeing dam, and therefore he's going to be chayev for the bia, and it's not considered an ones since it's samach levesta, meaning if it was something that's completely ba'ones, a person is chayev mekarban when he doesn't have erev b'shogeg. So then it's completely an ones. So then you can't be mechayiv him a karban. So the machlokas amarayim is, are we talking about samach levesta and that's why it's not an ones? Or maybe we're talking about when it's not samach levesta and therefore he's not chayiv on having the bia, on his actual entry into the woman and the penetration into the woman, because that's considered an ones. He's chayiv on the prisha, on pulling out of her be'iver with an aver kasha, with a hard aver, knowing that she's already tamea. So that's what Tosus over there points out. What in the world is this talking about? Tosus on the Gemara and Shavuos says, what do you mean he knows? How does he know? She told him she already knew that she was tamea. Then why does he talk about finding it on the bedikah cloth? It has nothing to do with the bedikah cloth. If she already knew during the bia that she was tamea, so very difficult to understand that machlokas amarayim in the Gemara in Masechet. Okay, so it says the Gemara now. In our Gemara now, halfway down the page. Wait a second, whatever dam you find, why aren't we choshesh that maybe this blood is not from the woman's body, but rather it's blood of an insect, and therefore we could be told that she's not really tamei, that he's not really tamei at all. For the Ramban and the Ran write that Rashi is mashma, that the kasha is when you find it on his bedikah cloth. However, the Rashba and the Ritva say that Rashi's mashma, that the kasha is even if you find it on her bedikah cloth, that the question is still, why don't you assume it's dama chalas? The Rashba and the Ritva say, but if the kasha is, even when you find it on her bedikah cloth, why don't you assume it's dama chalas, then what kind of kasha is that? You would never have a woman who's mitame tumas nida al yidei bedikah. Meaning, if we're going to take this kasha and take it seriously, that someone really had a legitimate havamina, that you find dam on her cloth that she cleaned up with after tashmish, that you should be choshish and it's dam achol, therefore not be metame her, well then a woman would never become tame nida, because you should always be choshish al yidei bedikah cloth, because every bedikah cloth you should always say that maybe it's dam acholas. So Tosus writes that kol makom that we're metame bebedikos, you can say that it's tumah machmas chumra. But over here we're saying Yechayiv Korban. So that's why we dafkas kash over here. Meaning maybe Enochinami. We are always choshesh and might be Dama Cholos, but we're Metame Michumra, L'chumra, we're Metame. But over here we know it's not just L'chumra, because we're saying you're going to be Chayiv as a Korban. So that doesn't sound like a Chumra. That sounds like if it were just a Chumra, we're risking bringing Chul and Azara. So it doesn't sound like it's Stam Chumra. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Oso Makom, Baduku Eitzel Macholas. Now the reason we don't assume it's Macholas is because that area on the body we assume is cleared out of any bugs. Others say it's too tight a space for any bugs to fit into. The nafkamina would be if you find a crushed macholas. If you assume it's baduk eitz l'macholas, so this macholas could have come from somewhere else. But if you say that it's dachuku eitz l'macholas, so then you would say that the aver itself crushed this macholas, and in a chinami it was too difficult for a macholas to get in. If you look at a Rashi, Ritzufa means, what does Ritzufa mean? That the nafkamina case, second to last skinny line in Rashi, mu'ucha al'eid rachok min adam k'tzas. It's crushed on the bedika cloth at a little bit of distance from the actual dam. So lulishn of the baduk kivin to kim l'raban dein shom macholas vaday dam migufahu sharei eid hoya baduk la kodem akinuach u'macholas. You have to say it came from somewhere else. Where does he change the girsa? La achrabila soya levaro. The macholas must have come afterwards. But the lishna de dachuk ikal suke shema haidam macholas umitoch shu dachuku mach hashamish pshas tashmish. If you say that it's an issue of dachuk, so that's why the macholas is at a little bit of distance from the blood, because it was crushed during the actual act of tashmish. Itmar. Batka be'ira badukla. So we're going to have two cases now. Case number one. Batka be'ira badukla v'tachlo b'yirecha. Let's say she checked with a pre-checked bedika cloth. The bedika cloth was known to be clean before she did her bedika, but it was dark when she did her bedika, so she didn't actually see the cloth. Then she rubbed the cloth on her thigh. Ulamachar matzah le'adam. And then the next morning, pasha pshat, she finds dam on her thigh for right where she rubbed the cloth. Some Rav Tamei Anida. Rav says she's going to be Tamei Anida. We're going to assume that she's Tamei Anida. Amrei Rav Sima Bar Chia. You told us that it shouldn't be Tamei Anida, that we should only be Choshesh, but not that it's Vadai Tamei Anida. It Marnami Yomar Shmuel Tamei Anida, V'chein Mar Be'im Midrasha Tamei Anida. We have various accounts of Amaraim saying that she's Tamei Anida B'Vadai. Tosfos writes that when we say that she rubbed it on her thigh, it has to be on a part of the thigh where Dam can't come, when Dam that comes from Minamak, or Dam, the uterine blood that comes out of her body, would not be able to fall there. And the Maram explains, because if it was in a place that she rubbed it where dam could have fallen out of her body, so then even if there wasn't a bedika cloth involved, she would be tamei, because we would have to be, that would be a kesem, it'd be tamei mishum kesem, it'd be a kesem that's found al gufa, that's found on her body, that would be enough to be tamei here. So you have to say we're talking about where she rubs it on a part of her thigh that otherwise would not have dam falling onto from her body. So that was case number one. Case number two, itma badka be'id she'eno badukla. She checks using an unchecked cloth. Tosfos on the top of Mbeis writes that yada shahaya naki lifnei yoma yomayim. We're not talking about a cloth that was completely unchecked and was never known to be clean. No, we're talking about a cloth that she knows a day or two ago was clean and it was put in a safe place for the past couple of days, but she just didn't look at it right before she did the bedika to make sure that it was clean. He says if it was a case where it's lo batuk me'olam, so then we would never say that it's that she's tamei bevada. You can't say she's tamei bevada if it was an eid she'eino baduk, because for all we know the cloth was full of dam before she ever put it in her body. So we have to assume that it's a bedika cloth that was pretty much checked. It was pretty much known that it was a clean bedika cloth, just hadn't been checked immediately prior to the bedika. So then she puts it in a box after the bedika. She puts it away. Ulamachar matzal of dam, and then she finds dam in it the next day. Am Rabbi Yosef kol yomav shor Rabbi Chia time. Throughout Rabbi Chia's life, he was always mitame. This uleisik naso tier. But then when he got older, he was a little more lenient. He was mitaher. So yibayelu heichi kamer. What does that mean? What exactly does it mean when we say he was mitame, and what exactly does it mean when we say he was mitaher? Kol yomav time mishum nida uleisik naso tier mishum nida v'time mishum kesem. Did he just mean to say that throughout the rest of his life, he assumed that it was real, full-fledged dam, nida d'oraisa, and then when he got old, he downgraded it to nida d'rabanan, to a kesem, to having the din of a stain? Or maybe no, for the majority of his life, he was mitame only midrabanan as a kesem, and when he got older, he was mitare legamri. So tashma, let's bring a raya what he really held. If she checks with an unchecked bedika cloth and puts it away, Rabbi Yomar Tamei Mishum Nida, Rabbi Chia Yomar Tamei Mishum Kesem. Rabbi Chia says it's tamei mishum kesem. Amalo Rabbi Chias says to Rabbi, Iyata Moda, Shetzricha Kugris Va'od. Aren't you Moda that it would not be Tamei unless it had a Kugris Va'od, which makes it sound like you treat it like a Kasem? Amrele Aval, he says, yeah, I am Moda to that. If it's less than a Kugris Va'od, if it's less than the size of a penny, of an American penny, I never would have been Metamei. So Amalo Imke Nafatas, he's so Kasem. So what are you arguing with me? You're also treating it like a Kasem. The din of a Gris is the din of Kinksamim. For Dam Nida, even the tiniest amount would be Metame. The Rebbe Savar being a Kugris Valda Fuka Midam Acholas, the Kimin the Nafakla Midam Acholas, Vadim Gufasa. Now, Rebbe would hold, it needs to be a Kugris Valda just to make sure that it's not blood from a bug. Once we know it's not blood from a bug, which would always be blood less than the size of a Kugris Va'od, so then we know that it came from her body, and then we would treat it like full-fledged Dam Nida. So when did this conversation happen? My love is Ziknu Sokai. Isn't this conversation happening in Rebbe Chia's older years? And Habi Alduso Timi Mishum Nida, which would imply that if in his older years he was Metami Mishum Kesem, that in his younger years he was Metami Mishum Nida. So it wasn't that he went from Kesem to Tar Lagamri, he went from holding Nida, Darai, Tolni Kesem. So Shmamina. So we do see that this, in fact, is a raya. That was the progression of his thinking during his lifetime. How do we know this happened in his older years? So Rashi writes the raya is from the fact that he's arguing on Rebbe, who was his Rebbe. In his younger years, he never would have argued on his Rebbe. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Talmidim argue on the Rebbeim all the time, even when they're young. Even when they're younger, Talmidim Chachamim, they don't wait till they get old. So Tosfos quotes from the Rashbam that Rebbe Chiya Bialduso learned in Bavel, so he wasn't anywhere near Rebbe. He only came into contact with Rebbe Leisuknuso, and that the fact that he's having a conversation with Rebbe is a raya that this was Leisuknuso. Tosfos says from the lashon that Rebbe Chiya says to him, Af ata asisu kesem. Where's the lashon of kavod? Af ata Rebbe. So it must be that Rebbe Chiya had grown to the stature where he was a contemporary already. He was already someone who was a chaver rather than just a talmid. So that's how we know that it must be Leisuknuso. The Aruch Lener suggests that maybe even Rashi was mischaven, Rashi really meant this. The Rai is not from the fact that he argues, it's from the Lashon that he uses to argue on his Rebbe, that he doesn't speak B'Lashon Kavod at all. Maybe that's the Raya, that this was Be'esuk Nuso. In the Pnei Aryeh, he suggests a totally different pshat, that the Gemara sounds like, in general, we try not to make too big a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya. So it seems more likely that Bizuknuso is Metame Mishum Kesem, Bialduso is Metame Legamri. Because according to the Tzad, that Bialduso is Metame Mishum Kesem, and Bizuknuso is Metare Legamri, it will turn out that Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya argue in a very extreme way, that they are exact polar out. One says Tame Dar Raisa, the other one says Tar Legamri. And in general, whenever we have machlokas, and we try to make it as close as possible, what's the Raya, look at Rebbe Chiya's shita itself. Why don't we assume that Bialduso is Metame Daraisa and Bizuknuso is Metare Legamri? No, we assume that there can't be that much of a change. It's got to be something more minor. So Machloksim also, we generally try to assume something more minor. We try not to assume such a drastic change. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Mishtabach Le Rebbe the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chama, Barbisa, Da'adam Gadolhu. So Rebbe would always tell Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi how great Rabbi Chama Barbisa was. Samarlo, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi, "L'chshiyav liadcha. When next time you see Rabbi Chama Barbisa, have you liadi? Let me meet him." So Kiyasa, next time Rabbi Chama Barbisa was in town, Amalei bay minay milsa. So he is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's way of testing Rabbi Chama Barbisa. When he said, "Ask me a shaila," he was curious what kind of shaila Rabbi Chama Barbisa would ask him. So bay minay bat kabei chein obaduklav inichasu bekufsa l'machar matzal avdam mahu. Our case, you use an unchecked bedika cloth, and then the next morning you find dam in it. What's the din? So Amalei k'divrei abe emalei. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, what do you want? You want Rebbe's Shita or you want Rabbi Yossi's Shita? Amalei k'divrei Rebbe Emeli. So he says, tell me Rebbe's Shita. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, zeu shomer l'avdadam gadalu. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, come on. He's looking for Rebbe's Shita, not for Rabbi Yossi's Shita. This is the guy you say is an adam gadal. Heich manichin divrei Rav, shomer divrei Talmud. Why does he want Rebbe's Shita and not Abba's Shita? My father's Shita is much better. He's the Rebbe, and Rebbe's just the Talmud. So how could how could you say such a person is an Adam Gadol? So what was Rabbi Chaim Bar Bisa thinking? Didn't he realize that it's better to get the Rebbe's Shita than the Talmud Shita? Rabbi Chaim Bar Bisa saw Rebbe Reish Masifta Hava Ushchich Rabban Kamei Machad Yishmaitzei. He knew that there was a Rebbe in a Talmud situation, but the Talmud happened to be a Rosh Yeshiva who gave Shurim to Talmidim, and Talmidim asked questions, and when Talmidim ask questions, they make you much sharper. So he figured that Shita is going to be more refined. It was put through the rigors of having to be presented to a group of bright Talmidim. So my Rebbe Yossi, what Shita of Rebbe and what Shita of Rabbi Yossi are we even talking about? Some Rav Ad Bar Masna, Tana Rebbe Metame, Rabbi Yossi Metar. We learned that Rebbe is Metame in this case. He would hold that the Eichein Obaduk that was used to check and then he found blood in it the next morning is Metame, and Rabbi Yossi holds his Metahir. When Rebbe was Metame, he held like Rebbe Meir. When Rabbi Yossi was Metayer, that was his own thing. If a woman was urinating and then she saw dam, Rebbe Meir says it depends. Im omedes tmeya. If she sees dam while urinating standing up, she's tmeya, because it's unnatural for a woman to urinate standing up, right? It's natural for a man to urinate standing up. A woman sits down when she urinates, and if she's urinating standing up, she's in an uncomfortable position, and we assume that uncomfortable position causes some of the urine to go back up toward the makar and pull out some dam in a makar together with it. So whatever dam you see in urine while if she was urinating standing up, we assume could be real dam nida and will be metame her. Im yosheves Torah, but if she was sitting, then it's Torah, because then it's just blood in the urine. Blood in the urine is not going to be metame her. It's not uterine bleeding. So therefore she's going to be Torah. That's what Shulchan Aruch Paskins. If a woman sees blood in the urine, she urinates normally, she sees blood in the urine. In the urine, that it actually comes out in the urine, she's Tahora. The Ramah says, however, we're machmir that it's tamei mishum kesem. That it doesn't count as dam nida daraisa, but it counts as kesem. It counts as a stain. So that's what a lot of the poskim say, yeah, but if you find it on the toilet bowl or in the toilet water, that's not mekabel tuma. So kesem found on something that's not mekabel tuma is going to be tahor anyway. This is if it's found actually in the urine. But if it's, she sees after urination, she sees dam come out, that could be a much, much bigger problem, especially if it's immediately after urinating. That could be a major, major problem. Rabbi Yossi or Ben Kach or Ben Kach Torah. Rabbi Yossi says either way it's going to be Torah. Amalei Rav Acha Brei Rav LeRav Ashi V'Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanin K'shetimi Rameir Lotimi Amalei Shum Kesem V'Ilu Rabbi Mishum Nida Kamar. How could you say Rabbi's going like Rav Meir? Rav Meir holds it's only time Mishum Kesem and Rabbi holds it's real full-fledged Nida. Amalei Anan Hachi Kamrinon Kiyin Marihi Mishum Nida Itmar. No, we meant to say that it's Mishum Nida, not Mishum Kesem. Nimsal Shalot Utiyom Tamei. And the Mishnah said if she finds it on her own batik cloth right away, then it's tamei. Tan Rabban Ezu Shir Vesas. What does it mean right away? So we had this already. Mashal Shamish Veid Shom De Mitzada Mashkov. You have the aver and the batik cloth right there, right by her opening. B'Yitzias Shamish Nichlas Eid. As soon as the aver leaves her body, immediately batik cloth in hand right away goes in. Havi Vesas Shom Lukinuach Havlol Batika. If she's to do not a full batika, because that already would take too much time, but do a quick wipe. That would be the Shir Vesas. Let's just do the next to that, Nimsal Shalal Liacharzman. If she finds on her body Liacharzman, so Tana V'Chayav Nashem Talui. So Yechayav Nashem Talui. If she finds in that mid-range time, because we don't know for sure that she was needed at the time, but it's at least a strong possibility that she was in need during the Tashmish. V'Tana Didan Ma'itayma. Why does our Tana not Mechayav Nashem Talui? Doesn't say anything in our Mishnah about Nashem Talui. Bein Chaticha Mishtei Chatichas. Because in order to be Chayav Nashem Talui, you need to have two pieces, one kosher, one non-kosher, and you're not sure which one you had. Over here, it's one woman. You're just not sure if she was in either or not at the time, so that would not be enough to be Mechayev Nashim Tali. Okay, Mitzvah, tomorrow we'll pick up from the two dots.